happen. All right, turn in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 12. You know, I figure if something is a blessing to my heart, then it's going to be a blessing to your heart.
Yes.
That's just kind of how I look at it. And when I was preparing this message, there were about three or four places where I had to stop and just praise the Lord. And a couple of places where I took my shoes off because I felt like I was standing on holy ground. And I want you to listen carefully. I'm not going to do anything to make you listen tonight. I just want to give you the message. There will not be a whole lot of illustration. There will not be any humor. It's just going to be, I'm going to give it to you. There's a lot to give you. And you've got to get home so you can watch Finding Bigfoot. So I got to get you home tonight. New episode, 9 o'clock. And you know, millions of people will watch that tonight thinking, oh, they're going to find Bigfoot on this episode. All right. Let's begin reading, please, in verse 20. You see, when you're homesick and you don't feel like doing, I didn't feel like reading. I didn't feel like doing anything all week long. I just sat there and rested and tired and watched Bigfoot shows. And Loch Ness Monster. Then, yeah, Loch Ness. All right, let's begin reading in verse 20, please. Verse 20. Now pay attention to the whole story here, okay? And there were certain Greeks among them, men from Greece, Greeks. All right, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and from what shall I say? And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I into... What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. All right, now listen carefully. Here's my text. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. All right, now what's the first word of that verse? Father. And all of a sudden the Father spoke. You with me on that? Verse 29. The people, therefore, that stood by and, what's the next two words?
Heard.
The people heard it. Said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. All right, now keep all of those little things that just happened. Keep them all right there in your mind. Keep your Bible open. I'm going to take the introduction of the sermon, and I'm going to start you in verse 20. I want you to follow me, and I want you to see the little scene that I'm going to create for you with words. And then I'm going to make the point, and then preach for about 4 hours on the point. No, I won't, but I'm tempted to. I don't think I could stand here for 4 hours. The title of my sermon tonight is this. What was that? What was that? All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the word, and I pray your blessings on it now. Help me, Lord, as I speak. I need your help tonight. And I pray that you will bless in a great way. Father, help us to hear God. Help us not to mistake when the Lord speaks to our hearts. Father, I pray that you will bless as only you can do. I cannot do what needs to be done here tonight, but Lord, you can. And so I pray that you'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now keep your Bible open and look at the 20th verse. When these Greeks, when these men from Greece showed up to speak with the Lord Jesus, it ended up being a very memorial hour in our Lord's earthly life. Do you not think that when they came and he was given word by Andrew and Philip that men from Greece were there? Do you not think that it crossed his mind that these fellows would one day return to their homeland and would tell their families and their fellow countrymen about meeting him? I think it certainly did. Here was an opportunity, as our Lord was looking at it, for a whole other culture, group of people, civilization, to be exposed to the wonderful salvation that he would provide. But now stay in the text. When Philip and Andrew in verse 22 said, these guys from Greece want to speak to you, the Lord, something happened. I mean, it's almost as soon as he got this word from Andrew and Philip that some men from another land, from a distant country, wanted to see him, it's almost like he just instantly saw the long, dark road by which that salvation that he was going to offer would be accomplished. Look at the verses. He's talking about going to the cross here. Here comes Philip and Andrew, and they say, these guys from Greece want to see you. And he doesn't say to them, oh, okay, well, let's bring them in. No, he starts to talk about going to the cross. He sees the cross. It was then that he saw the cross looming out in his immediate future. And his soul became heavy and exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And look at what he said. He said, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Oh no, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, thy will be done. I take the cup. Glorify thy name. Whatever the cost for me, I must do what the Father sent me here to do. And when he said that, and when he gave consent in front of everybody, that he was more than willing to go to the cross and to provide that salvation, all of a sudden a voice from heaven rang out. And this voice said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. That was God's assurance that even in the darkest hour, that even through agony and death, Christ would not be forsaken. It was God giving him assurance that the love of the Father would never let him go. And when the people heard this voice, some of them said, well, sounds like thunder to me. That's just like a bunch of sinners, isn't it? To miss the point. Sounded like thunder to me. And others said, wow, did you hear that? Wow, an angel spoke to him. Now, there are a few things that I think are suggested by the reaction of the people to what they perceived this voice of God to be. And I want you to think about it. I want you to consider this. Just think of this for just a minute. Think of this, folks. There are many spiritual things that we completely miss. We miss them. We might see them. We might even hear them. We might even experience them, but we completely miss them. I mean, just a little while ago, Brother Jim Boyer walked up here, and you know, we hear this every week, but Brother Jim Boyer walked up here and he said, yesterday, we had a bunch of folks that went down to Baltimore and 70 some people got saved. And I heard like four amens maybe. Did we not hear that? Some of us didn't, because we hear that all the time. We know what's coming. But folks, think about it. 70 some people got saved yesterday. 70 some people are going to be in heaven as a result of our folks going down to Baltimore in freezing weather and telling folks about Christ. We miss a lot when you stop and think about it. Now, don't forget here what the beloved apostle tells us. He said there was a voice from heaven. And don't forget that this voice was the voice of God the Father. The voice that this same John said in the book of the Revelation was as the sound of many waters. In other words, unmistakable, loud, roaring, and a voice that we are told was heard by every single ear that was there on that day. And yet, it seems that most everyone missed what it actually was. Some said that it was nothing more than a clap of thunder, and that there was nothing miraculous about this. There wasn't anything supernatural about all this. Don't get all excited here. Nothing to see. But then there were some who seemed to have been gifted with a little finer ear, a little finer sense. Maybe, I don't know, maybe one of the shepherds that we preached about a month ago. You remember who were out on the hills of Judea and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appeared and spoke? Maybe one of those shepherds was in the crowd. And maybe since that shepherd heard the voice of the angel of the Lord, maybe it was one of those shepherds who spoke up and John overheard him say, well, it was an angel that spoke to him. Yeah, the angel of the Lord, maybe. It was God that spoke. No doubt about that. No doubt. But the point is, everybody heard something. Now, can we agree on that? Yeah. All right, you with me so far? It gets easier. I'm just trying to lay some foundation here. We're going to put something on it in just a minute, as soon as this concrete settles. All right? But it seems that everyone missed what actually happened here. And the point is, everybody heard something. The same sound had fallen upon every ear, and every ear heard it. But it was not the same note that struck on every heart. They all heard the same thing, but they did not all perceive it the same way. Now, John got it, or so he tells us in the text. But the folks here in the story completely missed it. Now, there are several things that I want to call to your attention tonight. Not several, three. Three things I want to call to your attention tonight about what happened here. The title of my sermon is this: What was that? Or we could put the emphasis in another place. What was that? That makes it more inquisitive, doesn't it? What was that? What was that? All right, three things. Number one, I want you to think of this principle just in life, just in the realm of nature, just in our world around us. I'm not going to stay on this but for a minute in order to prove the point that I want to make. And that point is that we all perceive things in a different light. You can go out of here tonight and you can ask your spouse on the way home in the car, well, what'd you think of that sermon? And they will tell you what they thought of it. And then they'll say, well, what'd you think? And then you will tell them what you thought of it. And the simple truth of the matter is you're probably going to have different opinions of the sermon. Your perception is going to be different. Aren't you glad God made us that way? I mean, wouldn't it be awful if every one of us wore blue shirts with baby blue and pink in the tie? That would get old real fast, don't you think? Our perception is different. Take the world around us. If you send a botanist out into the country, he is going to see the foliage. He's going to see the flowers and the trees. If you send a geologist out into that same country, that geologist is going to see an entirely different side of the country than what the botanist was going to see. The geologist is going to see the rocks and notice where the creeks have cut their way through the ground. My point is, folks, no two people will see the world in the same light. The Bible says, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now, to a person of faith, we can go out at night and see the stars, or we can drive out Interstate 68 and we can see the grandeur of the Appalachian Mountains, or we can go over to the Ocean City and we can stand on the beach and look out across the vast ocean. And because we're saved and because we know the Lord, we walk in the light of the Word, we can look at God's creation and we can say, hey, boy, this is indeed God's creation. Look at what God has done. Look at these stars. God did this. Look at these mountains. God did this. Look at this ocean. God did this. But you know, somebody that doesn't know the Lord and has no faith in God, who has been educated in the public school system today, they're going to look at those mountains and they're going to look at that ocean and they're going to look at that sky and they're going to have a philosophy that is entirely different from what yours is, and they're not going to see God anywhere in any of that. One world. And yet some will see the world as a machine and others will see it and see God, or look at it and see God in every turn. One voice. Think of it, folks, in our text. One voice. And some said that it thundered and others said that an angel spoke. Don't you find it funny that nobody heard God? Second thing I want you to think about. Let's think of this principle in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I'm going somewhere. I'm not 100% sure where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere. Y'all ride along with me. It'll be worth it when we get to where we're going. Trust me. But I'm just trying to lay down the principle. This, you see this principle everywhere. Let's think of this principle, secondly, in the life of our Lord Jesus. As I was thinking on this, my mind went back to the time when he was in Gadara. And when he was walking through Gadara, you remember this maniac came out of the caves. Remember that? Guy was possessed of demons. And he came out of the caves and he was shackled and they broken the chains. They were still on his wrists and on his ankles, but he had broken them and he's running naked and screaming and scaring people. And the Lord was not intimidated at all. And he just stopped and he cast the demons out and the demons went in the hogs and then the hogs ran down the mountain and ran in the Sea of Galilee and drowned. Remember that story? Now, do you remember the reaction when this happened? Do you remember the reaction? I mean, the people from the countryside, they came to him after they heard about this. And they were, and before, but they came to him and they brought their sick and their diseased and their afflicted family members. And he cast demons out of them and all over the place. I mean, he was just doing all these miracles. And then when the Pharisees were watching him do all this, the Pharisees and the scribes came along and they said, oh, he cast out these devils by Beelzebub. That was their reaction to it. Why did they say this? I'll tell you why they said it. They were blind to who he was. They did not know him. They knew they couldn't cast demons out, and they supposed themselves to be the best friends with God. So they said, he must be doing this through the devil's power, because we can't do it, and we're best friends with God. So If he must be doing this through the devil, because God would give us that power if it was of God. That was such foolish logic, though. I mean, why would Satan give him power to cast out Satan? Right? It's kind of silly. But that's what they saw. That was their perception. When they saw him casting out devils, their perception was he's doing it in the power of the devil. But wait a minute, that was not all that we were told. We were told there were some other people there and they saw some things. What did his friends and family say? Well, his friends and his family said, you know, he's beside himself. You remember reading that? I never understood that. I never understood why they would say that. You know, if I was up here preaching my spleen out and one of my kids were going, boy, Dad's beside himself, look at that. I would be. I wouldn't like that at all. He's beside him. His family. His friends. He's healing people of disease. He's casting out demons. Pharisee says, all right, doing it in the power of the devil. That was their perception. His own family. They said, he's beside himself. He's beside himself. But then the common folks, you know, all these ones that had family members that were sick and he was bringing them to him. When they saw what was going on, the common folks, they all immediately glorified and praised God. All three groups of people saw the same miracles. They heard the same messages that he preached. And yet all three perception was different. And that makes me wonder, what do you make of Jesus? Christian, let me ask you, what do you make of Jesus? What is your estimation of him? How do you perceive him? When you hear the name of Jesus, what do you hear? Do you hear Savior? Do you hear Redeemer? Do you hear friend? Do you hear Son of God? Or do you hear something less than that, like, well, you know, he was just a prophet or a good man. Is that what you hear? Do you hear that he was just a good example of how a person ought to live their life? What do you hear when you hear the name Jesus? Oh, he was just a prophet who went about doing good. Let me say it to you this way, folks. There are many things which we can give either a lower or a higher meaning. And I think when you give them a higher meaning, then you will be nearer to the truth. And you know, it would be a shame if you missed who Jesus really was. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if you came in here some Sunday and I got up here and I opened the Bible and I read for you about who Jesus is and you sat there and gave a lower meaning to what was said instead of a higher meaning to it and you walked out of here with some doubt or some speculation or some question in your mind. Is he really coming back? Is he really the Son of God? Did he really resurrect from the grave? Well, folks, it says that he is coming back. It says that he did resurrect from the grave. It says that he is the Son of God. I'm saying to you, take the higher meaning, don't take the lower. What do you hear? What do you hear? I cannot help but think of the multitudes of people who went to a church building today somewhere across the world, but who did not see him clearly. Multitudes of people. Oh, they heard something. They heard some reverend deny his deity and say that he really wasn't the Son of God. Now, come on, folks. They heard some reverend deny his resurrection. Well, he didn't really resurrect from the dead, you know. I mean, people die, they're dead. You don't really believe that he resurrected? Yeah, I do. I really do. I believe that with every fiber of my being. If I did not believe that, then I would resign from the church and I'd throw that in the garbage can and I would leave and never come back. But I believe he was. Well, you know, he really wasn't virgin born. I mean, virgins don't have babies. Come on. You expect me to believe that? Yes, I do. And the reason I expect you to believe is because God made a big deal about that in the Bible. It was important for him to be virgin born so as not to inherit the same sin nature you and I got. I'd like to give mine back. Mine's killing me. Oh, they went to a church today and they heard something. But the sad thing is, the truth was missed. And boy, that has to break our Lord's heart. Folks, let me ask you, what do you think of this Jesus? What do your ears hear? I am amazed. I'm amazed at how I can preach a message and some folks will hear one thing and other folks will hear something entirely different. That's amazed me since I started in the ministry 175 years ago. It really has. I've had people come and say, well, you said, and I'm sitting there going, I did? Oh, yeah, you said it. And I've gone and asked, did I say this? I didn't hear it that way. Well, what'd you hear? And they'll tell me what they heard, and it's not anything like what they heard. What do your ears hear? I mean, folks, if we can do that with one another, how much more can we do this sort of thing with spiritual things and with the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, Pastor, how's it possible for us to do that? May I remind you that the devil is the prince and power of the air. And can I remind you that my voice gets from my vocal cords to your ears through the air. That's how it happens. Number three. You say, whoa, you said you only had 3 points. I do. This is the last one. But boy, is it a long one. No, it's not that bad. Number three. I want you to notice, folks, here's what I was building to. Here's where I'm headed. Number three, I want you to know, here's my point. This is the sermon right here. I want you to notice that none of the bystanders gauged the voice correctly. Not a one. Some said, well, it thundered. It sounded like thunder to me. But it didn't thunder. It didn't thunder. I mean, look at your text. Look at the verse. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven. It was God's voice. It didn't thunder. God spoke. None of them got it. Some of the other that were in the crowd, they said, oh, it was the voice of an angel, and yet no angel spoke. God spoke. The point is, folks, both parties were wrong. But here is what I want you to think about. Both parties were wrong. Both missed what actually happened. Both, as a matter of actual fact, were off in their evaluation of what occurred. Yet the men, listen to me now, here's the message. The men who interpreted the sound higher, saying that it was angels who were speaking, were much closer to the truth than the ones who assigned it to the lower thing, thunder. Right? Now answer me this. Whose voice was it? It was God's voice. And the sad thing is that not one person in the crowd recognized it as the voice of God. And to that extent, every one of them was wrong, with the wisest of them no less than the most foolish. They were all wrong. So what does this mean to us? What's this mean to you? What's this mean to me? Well, the point is, folks, the men who thought they heard an angel and who interpreted the sound on a higher and more lofty level were much closer to the truth than those who simply saw what happened as something coming from the realm of the natural world around them. Now, let me apply it to a couple things and we'll be done. Here's the point. Let me apply this to something so you'll see what I'm saying. Let's take the Bible, for instance. Oh, I'm so tired of Christians criticizing me and criticizing the Church of the Open Door because we believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Well, excuse me. Now, you King James only. And that's a crime? Where's the crime in that? Where's the crime in taking the higher road and just believing that the Bible is the Word of God? Where's the crime in that? Oh, I'm tired of it. So tired of it. One of our boys who is trying to raise support to go serve God sends a letter to some intellectual. And this intellectual writes back and says, well, you go to the Church of the Open Door and they believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And you don't? Shame on you. Take the name Baptist off your name. You're not a Baptist. Take the word fundamental out of your title. You're not a fundamentalist. I've been cooped up for a week. I'll be sweet Wednesday night, but let me just throw a fit right here. Would you please? Let's take the Bible, for instance. Folks, listen. You can read the Bible and God will speak to your heart. Amen? He does mine. Are you going to take it as truth? As the final authority? Are you going to take what God says to you out of the Bible as fact, as God's word? Are you going to read the Bible and then hear the Bible as the voice of God? Or are you going to dilute it and question it and doubt it and try to explain it away with some lower, some human, some faulty, some fleshly spirit? Which is it going to be? You know, I just made up my mind. I'm going to just believe what God says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's good enough for me. And on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and he was not there. That's good enough for me. I like that. I mean, a third grader, first grader can understand that. And yet, all over America, these reverends and these reverendettes, they got up this morning and they put their finger to their cheek, like to their chin, like they're really in deep thought. And they tripped over their bathrobe as they were opining across the platform. And they said, well, now, you know, you can't really take the Bible literally. Oh, yes, you can. It just depends on what perception you have. Are you going to take the lower road or are you going to take the higher road? What you going to do? I'm going to stick with the higher road. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was the Son of God. I think I'll just stick with that. The Bible says that Jesus was God in the flesh. I'm going to stick with that. The Bible said that Jesus was virgin born. I'm not going to question that. The Bible said he lived a sinless life and that he died on Calvary's cross for our sin and that he was buried, but that he was resurrected on the third day. I'm just going to stick with that. Yep. And yet there are multitudes of people who won't hear the voice of God, and to them all they hear is a rumble of thunder. They're here every Sunday. 4, 5, 6 of them every Sunday. They walk in and they sit down, and then we have our song service, and they're sitting there going, well, where's the drums and the rock and roll guitars and all that? Where's all that? I mean, every church I've ever been in the last 10 years had all rock and roll music, and where's all the rock and roll music? I mean, why are those guys wearing suits? Y'all look funny in suits. I mean, every one of you's got a suit on. Good grief. And all you women, you're wearing skirts and dresses and blouses and all that. Where's your shorts and all that? Did that really say church out front? Is that what that said? Are you sure we're not in a cult somewhere? And that was bad enough. They were really questioning it when they noticed you. You folks are weird. You know that? You're weird. Y'all dress funny. You talk funny. You look funny. You're not all tattooed up, you're not all earringed up, and you're not all necklaced up, and you know, you're weird. You're a weird bunch. And as weird as y'all are, these guys up here, mercy. Pray for them. But then we got to the music all over with, and then I got up here and started preaching. And it usually takes about 10 to 15 minutes. That's usually about all it takes. 10 to 15 minutes. And if you're sitting up here, you don't ever see it. But if you're sitting up here, y'all see it. And about 10 to 15 minutes, if you're sitting up there, you can see it over here. And if you're sitting up there, you can see it over here. And about 10 to 15 minutes. Now, y'all clock it. You watch it next Sunday. Next Sunday morning, you watch it. And about 10 to 15 minutes into the sermon, when I get through the introduction and make the first point, which you can pretty much set your clock by it all, she'll look at him or he'll look at her and they'll mutter something under their breath. I've tried to watch and see what they're saying and I can't quite pick it out. But it's something like, who does he think he is? He just called me a sinner. He just told me that I was going to hell. Well, now, who in the world died and left him in charge? And that's when they get up and they walk out. Now, you didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. That's not what your ears perceived. What your ears perceived was that the Lord Jesus is the salvation of this world. And you sat there and you said, wow, man, come on, preacher. That's good. That's not what they got. And boy, they went out the door. They didn't speak to anybody in the hallway, which, by the way, there's too many of you hanging out in the hallway. And they walked right on out and got in their cars and left. And that's it. They'll not be back. And they're the ones that are going around town telling your neighbors that I'm a cult leader. That I'm the meanest guy in Carroll County. That this is the church of the closed mind, not open door. Oh, yeah. Because it's all what you hear. They'll come to church and they won't hear what the rest of us hear. Multitudes of people, they won't hear the voice of God. To them, it's just a rumble of thunder. Folks will come to church at Christmas time and they'll hear the story from Matthew and Mark about the virgin bearing a son. And then their response is, well, I know what it says, but I'm not sure I believe all that. They'll come on Easter Sunday because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to church on Easter Sunday. I mean, everybody in his dog knows that. So they'll go on Easter Sunday. And a passage of Scripture will be read about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And then they'll take the lower road and deny that Jesus really resurrected from the dead. And you know, folks, this is what is so disheartening about our world today. We don't want to hear what God has to say. We don't have ears that can hear God. Some won't come to church and they'll hear the gospel, but they'll choose the lower road and they'll say, well, you know, God wasn't speaking to me. Yeah, he was. No, God wasn't speaking to me. He's speaking to these really bad people. You know, these really big sinners. I'm not a really big sinner. No. What you need to do is you need to gauge the voice correctly. You need to listen and engage correctly. And I think this is what has destroyed the foundation of our country. I really do. We have legislated. We have regulated. We have argued God out of our country, out of our schools, out of our churches. We've argued God away. God speaks, but we don't hear him. We just don't have ears to hear anymore. And it seems like as time passes that we just keep taking the lower road every time. And we, I think, have silenced the voice of God in many areas because we refuse to hear him speak. Let me ask you, dear friend, what do you hear? What do you hear? Let me encourage you to take the high road.